This is your tech news briefing for Tuesday, March 10th. I'm Kateri Yoakum from the newsroom of The Wall Street Journal. Employees across the country are being asked to work from home over concerns about the coronavirus, and so are kids. But schools trying to set up remote learning plans are finding that it's harder than it sounds. Our family and tech columnist Julie Jargon will join us to explain. That's after these headlines. CEO Jack Dorsey is staying at Twitter for now. We reported last week that one of Twitter's activist investors, the hedge fund Elliott Management, had been pushing to have Dorsey removed. Now, Twitter and Elliott have come to an agreement. Dorsey will keep his job, and Twitter will appoint two new board members, including one nominated by Elliott. They will also look for a new independent director and spend $2 billion in share buybacks. The trade spat between the U.S. and China is not going away, and now the U.S. semiconductor industry is warning that it could be a casualty. A trade association group has released a new report that spells out the potential impact on chip makers if the U.S. were to stop supplying chips to China. The report comes in an effort to influence a meeting of U.S. cabinet officials later this week, where regulators are expected to discuss whether to further restrict U.S. sales to Chinese companies that could pose espionage risks. As more people become infected with the coronavirus in New York, Microsoft and Amazon have joined the growing list of employers encouraging their New York City staff to work from home. Microsoft is recommending that its employees stay away from the office through March 25th, and Amazon is keeping employees at home until the end of the month. This follows similar guidance from both companies for their Seattle offices. And if you're worried about spreading diseases through your tech, we've got some good news. Yes, you can clean your iPhone screen with a Clorox wipe. Don't believe us? Apple itself has given the go-ahead. This is a reversal of Apple's previous warnings that cleaning products could wear away the phone's protective coating and scratch the screen. On Monday, Apple updated their website saying a 70% isopropyl alcohol wipe is A-OK. After the break, more on stopping the spread of the virus. Schools have been shutting their doors and opening up classrooms online. But that comes with challenges of its own. Our family and tech columnist Julie Jargon will join us coming up. Businesses around the country are starting to come up with contingency plans in the case that they have to close down because of the coronavirus. And they're not the only ones. Schools are also having to think about this. As the coronavirus spreads, some of them are opting to hold classes remotely. The challenge is testing thousands of families' ability to get their homes tech ready so students can log in. Our family and tech columnist Julie Jargon is here to explain how schools and families are tackling this issue and the roadblocks that they're running into. Julie, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So talk to me first about how many schools we're already seeing closing their doors and what they're doing instead.
We're seeing several, including a very big school district in Seattle, the Seattle suburbs, as well as some schools in Rhode Island, Vermont, and New York that are closing, and some of which are offering online education for the period of time that they're closed. But the one in Seattle is the largest, with more than 23,000 students.
I know a lot of kids are already doing a lot of their classwork and homework online. Google Classroom is set up. What is the challenge that they're facing now?
What they're facing now is trying to determine whether the schools themselves are able to hop onto an online platform to enable instruction, not just homework and completing assignments, but actual instruction from the teachers in a virtual classroom setting. And then also, are the families actually able to do this on their end? You've got parents who are now working from home in many cases, or parents who are not able to work from home. How are they supposed to manage their children? Do they have enough computers at home? Do they have the bandwidth to enable high-speed internet connection? So there are a lot of technical issues and also just family work-life balancing issues that are going into the equation here.
I know that you're reporting that the district in Seattle had to give out more than 2,600 laptops when the schools closed there. That seems like it would be a huge challenge for some school districts.
Yes, absolutely. And the district in Seattle that did that, they acknowledged that they have a lot of resources, given that they are in close proximity to Amazon and Microsoft, and they get a lot of funding to provide technology. So they were able to close that gap and provide computers and wireless hotspots to families that didn't have them at home. But a lot of districts don't have those kind of resources and won't be able to transition as seamlessly when it comes to doing online education. So the choice that they will face is either not doing it at all, and if classes are closed for a couple of weeks for coronavirus, kids will either go without instruction during that time and potentially be behind where they should be. Schools can also tack on extra days at the end of the year for those lost days. But experts say that that is not always very productive because by that time of the year, kids are getting antsy. It's time for summer and they can't focus and pay attention as well.
This really highlights a bigger issue, right? People have been talking about the homework gap for a long time. As more schools and classrooms expect students to be doing work online on computers, there's kind of a gap developing between lower income and rural students in some cases who don't have access to the internet or don't have access to computers or even maybe a quiet space to work. A lot of homeless kids out there who are working not in ideal situations, having to do their homework in a library. Is this something that people are, sometimes it takes like a big event like this to get people thinking about that. Have you spoken to any districts that are starting to realize that this is actually a bigger problem than they knew?
I think the districts that so far have done this are fairly well equipped to do so, but I believe that this is going to very much highlight that tech gap that exists as more districts have, you know, bigger community spread outbreaks in their communities that might force them to shut down for a period of time. You know, when you're talking about the coastal cities, more affluent areas, they can probably absorb this better. But if you're talking about lower income districts or rural districts, they are likely to have a harder time handling the tech component of this if they choose to do online education. And just like you said, there are a lot of rural communities where they don't have high-speed internet. And how are they going to do that? You know, they may be able to provide that at the school, but on individual home basis, that would be difficult in a lot of areas still.
And then, you know, just the point, 25 kids connecting on a Zoom conference call for a class, for one class is hard enough. For 8 hours of classes sounds like a logistical nightmare. Do we have any understanding of how effective that kind of remote learning is?
Well, you know, we're just very in the early stages of this. I talked to a teacher in New York. They're a couple of days into this, and this teacher said that, you know, they don't do the classes all day long, continuously for 8 hours. But her concern was, you know, when they are doing the classes, you know, you can see the people on the grid through the Zoom meetings. But when you're offline and the kids are going to do their assignment, you know, who's supervising them? Are they able to stay on task? If they're meeting in small groups over Zoom or another platform, are they doing their schoolwork? Are they talking about other things? If they have devices at home, are they just going to be watching YouTube? I mean, there are all sorts of questions about how productive they can be when they're not in a school setting with an adult there to supervise. And if they're at home, you know, and the parents are at home working or maybe unable to be at home working, who's really able to keep tabs on the kids during the day and keep them focused?
I know you'll be on this and watching as the coronavirus grows and this issue becomes more of an issue. Columnist Julie Jargon, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And that was your Tech News Briefing. Don't forget that if you like this podcast, you can rate and review us in your app store. Do you have ideas about what we should cover? DM us on Twitter at WSJ Podcasts. I'm Kateri Yoakum from The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.